To learn my teachings, I must first teach you how to live.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sure I haven't the faintest idea what you're talking about.
For those who need a visual effect, Colin is running around the room.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
Let me spin. No, there is too much. Let me sum up.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Hello, my name is Peter Trapani, here with Austin Baker.
Hey, how's it going?
Colin Bradley.
Yo.
And Micah Godfrey.
What's up?
And we are dead on board. Gentlemen, we played a little Magic over the weekend.
Nine rounds of it, some
ish.
Of us more.
Yeah, some of us.
Some of us played more than others.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you win a little, sometimes you lose a little.
Yeah,
this
boy.
Weekend,
sometimes you lose a lot, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the city of Top Decks, it seems to get kind of awkward. So let's just start it off. Colin, how did you play this weekend?
What did you play?
Oh, what did I play? I played my tried and true Kiki Cord list. Good old 61 card main deck.
Was this the same list you played at the regional event?
It was. Basically, you can find that list on our website.
Plug.
Yeah.
Shameless plug.
DeadOnBoardMTG.com.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. For a few minor changes, I cut the Spellskite for a third Voice of Resurgence. Added a Selfless Spirit to the main deck. Added a Worship to the main deck.
Which is Brass Balls.
The Worship, dude.
You don't even know how many times Worship game one saved me.
Yeah, it's hard to kill all Kiki Quartz creatures.
Sideboard, obviously minus the one Worship. There's no Obstinate Baeloth, and there's no, Burnt and Forge Tender. Mm. I played two Chandra Torch of Defiances.
Really?
In that spot, and added a third Eldritch Evolution.
Okay. So walk me through some of the changes. I know you said Selfless Spirit.
Yeah.
So why bring that card in to your pile?
I expected a lot of like control this weekend. A lot of sweepers. Turns out that's at least on my end of the case, not really what happened. Or in general. I could see it staying the Spellskite. I could see it not. They both basically do like kind of the same thing, except Spellskite's a little better against Path to Exile.
That's fair.
Or like Terminate, I guess, like just targeted removal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets awkward against Go for the Throat if you have Spellskite.
Yeah, if they're playing that good on them.
But no, my sideboard performed pretty well for me this weekend. That third Eldritch Evolution definitely helped.
Can you tell me a play in which it was really, really beneficial to have that third?
So I beat Tron for the first time in like actually a long time. The highlights of my sideboard was the three Eldritch Evolution and the one Magus of the Moon that I brought in that I got to Evolution for on turn two.
Which is hot.
Both games, yeah. I just had to fade Walking Ballista for like X amount of turns game three because I didn't have my land four for the Restoration Angel in my hand.
Yeah, sure.
But it felt good. Just having that extra little out.
Yep. Well, and you know, like you said, you can Eldritch Evolution for that Magus of the Moon, Magus of the Moon, versus just having a old fashioned Blood Moon, which you can't get,
Yeah, really tough to cord for that one.
Yeah, it's impossible.
No.
Turns out you can't.
Yeah, just not a legal play.
Weird.
Yeah. What all did you play against? Like, what was your the meta like to you?
So I didn't play against the same thing twice, really.
I don't think any of us did.
Actually, that's a lie. I played against Eldrazi-Tron twice and just got freaking dumpstered.
Yeah.
Regular Tron once. Round one was Blue-Green Fish. Round two was Blue-Red Kiln Fiend. Round three was Goblins. Round four was Tron. Round five was Abzan. Round six was Burn. Round seven was Eldrazi Tron. Round eight, five Abzan, six Burn, seven Eldrazi Tron. Round eight was like a super weird, like blue red Madcap Experiment Blood Moon deck.
Oh, good on them.
And then round 9 for my winning in was Naya Allies.
Yeah. Yes. So tell us how that went, Colin.
I just bodied him. Because turns out they can like actually never beat Worship.
That's, yeah, no. Yeah. Zero outs. Usually.
And
looks pretty bored.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Fiery Justice is also just freaking insane.
Yeah, that seems very good.
So that's like Bushwhacker. What else is in there?
That card's an ally. Yeah, why weird. Is that card an ally?
Orin Reef, Explore.
Hot of Free Blade.
Hot of Free Blade. Kazandu Blade Master.
Sure.
they're all just like allies that get 1/1 counters when it or another ally enters the battlefield.
It's modern staples, really. Get, like,
Vigilance. And
yeah,
Haste
so
and
Akum Battlesinger gives your allies +1/+0. Lantern Scout gives him lifelink.
Interesting interaction with Worship there that you found out.
Yeah, he ended game 3 at like 186 life before I kikied him.
Yeah.
Thank God you kept in the combo though, right?
Oh, yeah. There's no way I'm siding it out.
Yeah.
He almost got me game 1 because
just go faster.
He went Battlesinger, Surge of Goblin Bushwhacker. And
okay.
That was like 19 20 like 22 damage.
Turn 3?
This is like it wasn't that much. So I think he actually just played one spell into Bushwhacker. I think it was Battlesinger into Bushwhacker.
I mean, yeah, that's still
while he had the Evangel in play that gives your dudes protection from a color.
Oh,
you get to choose.
Yeah, you get to choose. Yeah. When another ally enters the battlefield and a Lantern Scout. So he gained like 16, 14 life. And I almost died.
Yeah.
But his next turn, he tapped out for a Collected Company main phase and just whiffed. Like,
looks at 6 cards,
puts them there, on the
so
bottom.
So like, he plays like 20 lands and 8 spells,
and
the rest
of creatures.
Creatures.
I don't know
and
what the statistics are on that.
Woo! We dodged a bullet and we got to kill him.
Yeah, no, that's sweet.
So yeah, that was it. Then day 2, I played against Tron 2 times in a row, and
we didn't magus him.
No.
Yeah.
Last round, especially actually. No, my round 10 was against Black Green Rock. I just drew like garbage against. And then against Tron, he had turn 3 Karn, turn 4 Ugin, both games. And nobody's ever beaten resolved Ugin. So
yeah, no, agreed.
I mean, people have.
speaking of Ugin, Micah.
Yeah.
How
you
do?
The card?
How you doing?
So I took Green Red Tron, which is
you kind of audible
to.
You kind of audibled off of Grixis Shadow, which you had been playing.
I was playing Grixis Shadow for a while, and then I was just like, you know what? I'm going to play something I'm comfortable with, because I just didn't feel comfortable with most of the decks that I was playtesting with.
Yeah.
Thank God, because I didn't feel comfortable for you.
Yeah. You did almost play Grandpa Jund.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't know.
Which would have been just
yeah, that
would have
been
an awful choice.
Maybe. I don't know.
It would have been awful for me with like only having a week's worth of reps.
Yeah.
Pretty rough.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So Green Red Tron, it's a pretty standard list, except like with most lists run like 3 O Stones, and I have 2 O Stones plus 1 Allah's Dust.
Mm-hmm.
The mana base, your 3 Tron lands, 4 Grove of the Burn Willow, 2 Sanctums, and 2 basic forests.
Yeah.
So, pretty standard there. I have 2 Kozilek's Return in the main, outs, and 2 Relic of Progenitus.
Just a good hedge against just random things.
Random things.
I mean, we learned that from regionals, right?
Like, yeah,
you kind of need the Kozilek's Return main board.
I need those main board.
Yeah.
The spice doesn't really happen until we get to my sideboard, which has 3 Lightning Bolts.
Ooh.
2 Dragon's Claw.
Yes.
2 Thrag Tusk, 3
Standard.
Nature's Claim,
sure.
2 Thought Not Seer,
yeah.
And 1 Basic Mountain.
So
one Basic Mountain.
So you and I have talked about this a lot off cast.
Yeah.
Explain to me again and to the listeners why a Basic Mountain.
Yeah, if they Blood Moon you, you already have red, right?
I mean, so you're not bringing in against Blood Moon decks. You're bringing in against like Hate Bears and those kinds of things, just because they're gonna Ghost Quarter you a lot of times.
Sure.
And there's a new card from Ixalan that I've come to hate, and it is Field of Ruin. So if any of those decks hit you, most of the time you're wanting a Lightning Bolt, and so you it gives you the mana to cast it. It also hits, gives you access to Kozik's Return.
Mm-hmm.
And it just gives you another land to fetch off of for Path to Exiles or Ghost Quarters. And that way you're still able to cast spells like your Thought Knot Seers or your Thragtusks post-board. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice to have. I did not bring it in a single matchup, but I still don't think I would have changed that slot just because of the amount of playtesting I put in on Modo.
Right.
But people call me crazy for it, but you know.
Maybe it works, it works. Yeah, that's. I guess.
Real quick, shout out to my boy Julian John.
Yeah, no,
for,
Julian.
Top eighting this Grand Prix. Him and I, like.
What an interesting story he had.
Mono Greentron.
Yes. He's been around. He, like, used to live in Como.
Yep.
Is out in Florida now, but he's a good friend of mine, so. Julian, I don't know if you listen to this, but
he's definitely
good
a listener.
Shit, dude.
Definitely a listener. How do you think he top eight of the GP?
Oh yeah,
of course.
Without our knowledge,
yeah, we dropped some hot ones. Liked Tron though. Tron was apparently an amazing call.
Yeah.
For the weekend,
he just bodied
actually
everybody.
Yeah, we'll kind of get into the top eight a little bit, but yeah, no, apparently that was the correct call, whether you were most comfortable with it or not. Like that was what people were playing. I mean, Seth Manfield played Tron as well as like Julian John. Julian's a good player. Mm-hmm. He was kind of on top of the meta. A couple other Trons in the top eight and one ninth. So, yeah, apparently it was a really, really good call.
So, I still think it was. I probably would have changed the red to black, probably, or just omit a second color.
Sure.
But all in all, I was happy with my results. I mean, I got so I started off beating Blue Red Storm.
Which is a nightmare matchup.
Yes.
He just goes turn two Barol, and you're like, well, this is bad.
Yeah.
This is really bad.
So he starts off with Polluted Delta, and I just didn't know what he was on. And then he just goes turn two Goblin Electromancer, and I was like, oh, so I think we just lost round one.
Start in the hole.
But we got him by casting two Thought Knot Seers, both game two and game three. So, and then the next three rounds were pretty pitiful. Just top deck lands. I just wasn't. I was literally top decking lands.
Yeah.
So,
isn't that what Tron wants to do, though?
Yeah, but if you don't have a payoff, so like I can have 30 mana, but if I just have nothing in hand, it's not worth it.
No, yeah.
You know,
you got to draw Wurmcoil sometime.
Yeah.
Or
So I went 1-3, and then we fought back against bad matchups like Naya Burn.
Yeah.
Affinity.
Unwinnable.
What the hell, dude?
And
I don't know how you ever beat that. I played Tron on Monday. I don't know how you ever beat Lava Spike. It's impossible.
So what you do is you get your opponent to lock themselves under two Eidolons.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then you cast three Wurmcoil Engines.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, like, yeah.
I'm not even going to attack. I'm just going to sit here until
and
you
so,
make
yeah, that, that's how that one went. And we got all the way to 5-3, hoping to day two on my last round, and then we lose turn four of game 1-2 to elves.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Do we have natural Tron all as dust? No? Well,
no.
This is going to be a rough one.
So we had game two, we had natural Tron into Karn, then into Ulamog on turn four.
And it just didn't
and then
matter.
I still lost.
We died. Oh, my God.
Shaman of the Pack is a dumb magic.
Yeah, so, he was shamaning, wasn't he? Yeah, that sucks.
So to just tell the listeners, this is what happened. I cast an Ulamog on turn four to exile two Heritage Druids. I'm like, I'm not dead. I'm far from dead. We're good.
Yeah.
He goes, response to the cast trigger. Makes mana with Heritage Druid and then goes, collected company.
Sure.
I was like, yeah, what can he hit? And then he just goes, Shaman of the Pack, drain you for 14. I was like, oh,
so
okay.
I'm at two. Okay, all right.
And I was like, and then I shook his hand right there.
You
I was
died.
Like, there was no outs. So
that's disgusting.
It was pretty rough. And I was frustrated because, like, you know, I fought back to
almost
get to day two, and then you lose in the ninth and final round.
Yeah, that's rough.
Like, it wasn't even close in the ninth and final, but
yeah, it's not like you could, like, scrap in and there was, like, something you could do. It's just like, well,
we just got bodied.
Yeah, it's fine. But good stuff. 5-4 is, like, a really good you know, cheapy performance.
Is this your first constructed Grand Prix?
No, it is my second.
Okay.
Yeah, right on.
I played Burkhart Control back in Dallas,
Fort Worth.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
No, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Your head just hurts so bad. Like, I don't think I'll ever play Control at another GP, but
yeah,
it's maybe I will. I won't learn, but I'll say that right now.
I think as long as you like can establish a clock instead of just like, here's a colonnade that I'll turn on turn 12.
Yeah.
You know.
Eventually I'll start turn attacking with colonnade and they're just like, ah, fatal push. I've been holding this for 8 turns.
Uh-oh.
Gave me a target, thanks. Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. So you mentioned you wanted to change probably to black or monocolored, if at all. Why do you think that would have helped you this weekend, like in specific instances?
So I think I played Burn twice and I think Green Black actually has a better matchup against Burn.
It's
because
close.
Collective Brutality is just a house.
Sure. Board. Sure.
Yeah. And the board.
Yep.
So I think that would easily, or not easily, but it would give me an extra percentage to beat the other Burn player I played against. And
well, Naya is hard because like they get like all of the good stuff sideboard. Like, how do you beat a Tarka's command?
Wormcoil engine, I guess.
Yeah. that's why you just run 3 Wormcoil engines and then you bring in your 2 Thrag Tusks and your 3 Nature's Claims.
Yeah. Claiming your own like stars and spheres. Well, not spheres probably.
And
like,
hope they don't skullcrack you.
Yeah.
I did live the dream of them going Destructive Revelry on Wormcoil engine and I Nature's Claimed it in response.
Oh, yes. That's actually sweet.
That.
It's probably fine for the burn player,
it's fine for the burn player, but I gain 4 life instead of losing to you.
Yeah, it's the same result. Anyway, yeah, so I mean, it's fine.
There was no way of avoiding Wormcoil being destroyed, but
should have blossomed and defensed it, or don't.
Or can don't. We play because four Wormcoils? Yeah. Can we play 4 Wormcoils? Or is that really stretching it?
That's stretching it, in my opinion.
I guess from like. A dumb aggro mid-range player, like I really just want to jam as many threats as I can in there that can swing like a body, you know.
Yeah, but you also have your Worldbreakers that you want to cast too, and
that's fair. Like, if you get burned on like 2 lands and you take one of them away, like that's half their game plan, right?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. I guess like if Wormcoil ever hits, connects, and gains life, that's just basically 2 counter spells.
Yeah,
each gain 6. That's great. So yeah, if it does that, it's great. But some matchups, Wormcoil is actually not that great. Like, it's maybe not what you want to do.
Yeah, so sometimes I'll shave, like, 1, but, like, that, I still want to keep it in a lot of times. Just, and that could be just because Wormcoil is, like, a pet card for me.
It's great.
I like being able to go swing 6.
Yeah, I think
gain 6.
I think it's one of the best creatures in the format right now.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Well, and even when you kill it, if you don't exile it, like, it just comes back, but half is great.
Yeah, no, like, you get 2 bodies, and one's a Death Toucher and one's a Life. Like, it's fine.
Yeah,
the 6/6 is really menacing, but it's just one body. You can kind of sort of get around it, but 2/3/3s is rough. Wormcoil's great.
And against the Burn player, the other reason I don't want like a 4th Wormcoil is Worldbreaker actually won me the game 2 because he went Ensnaring Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
He just tapped out for Ensnaring Bridge, and I have a Wormcoil out. And I top deck Worldbreaker
to hit the bridge.
Artifacts. Gross, dude.
Because, I mean, like, how else do you beat Ensnaring Bridge? Like
Karn.
So you need Karn if you can cast...
Ulamog works, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Worldbreaker, Nature's Claim.
Actually, O-Stone works, too.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, like, you have a suite of, like,
yeah, we
removal.
Have...
There's a lot of ways to do it.
But
especially post-board, you have claims.
But a lot of times, you just like the exile on a stick with Worldbreaker.
Yeah, right.
So... and also Worldbreaker. I like having 2 Worldbreakers just because the affinity matchup is so much better.
Bringing in Bridge seems super loose.
Yeah,
against Tron.
I don't know what his thought process is.
I like it against Eldrazi Tron.
Yeah, sure.
They have a lot harder of a time of
dealing
with it. They have like X less
number
of waves. They run like 2 Karns and like 1 Ulamog.
Mm-hmm. Something like that,
like that. So like they don't, and I don't even know if they run O-Stone. So,
no. Which I mean, they can also like attack your hand with Thought-Knot Seer. So,
yeah,
if it's not one, it's the other. I think the card is good. I think you just have to be like on the play and at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
because tapping out on turn 3 sucks.
It's how you beat Grixis Shadow.
True.
Like,
yeah, no, it's
or like 5 color Shadow.
Yeah,
the only way to deal with it is Abrupt Decay.
Yep.
If
Koleon's Command, if they have it, but
Liliana Ultimate, separate this and everything else.
I will keep that in Snaring Bridge.
Oh man,
I got Liliana Ultimate. twice in one game.
Yeesh. So, all right, well.
Did it matter? It's like usually the lily decks you don't care about.
It did matter because this guy was playing 8-rack.
So. Oh, never mind. That's not an Abzan Jund deck at all. That's something totally different.
No, he that was one of my losses, was against 8-rack, which is just, it's an incredible matchup for me. Like, I can typically body it, but he just had, game three, he just had the hand.
Yep.
Strips my hand, and then he goes, Shrieking Affliction, rack, go.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
Scratching our head on that one. That's pretty
How many
good.
Cards do I have in my hand? Not good enough. All right.
The nice thing is Wrenchmind doesn't matter that much against you.
You board those out.
Yeah.
So, final record, 5-4?
5-4, yes.
Yeah.
Happy with it?
I could have done better, but overall I'm happy.
Yeah.
I like being able to say that, like, I still had a chance in round nine.
Yeah.
Round nine.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
you put yourself in the position, you know, if you do that enough times, theoretically, you will get one of them.
Yeah.
At least. So.
Yeah.
That's all. It's all about, you know, basically getting in those spots and just giving yourself a chance to day two or top eight or whatever, and then it'll happen for you.
Yeah.
So it's just a numbers game.
Okay. Peter.
Yeah.
Well, Peter, I can't say that I gave myself the chance in round nine. started the day off really bad. I went 0-3 for the first three rounds.
Playing?
I was playing Five Color Shadow. Yep. So I talked about this in the previous podcast, along with, you know, like Matt Simpson, and him and I have been kind of brewing ideas back and forth. I wanted to play Rabblemaster Rainboard.
Mainboard.
Instead, that turned to Hazoret the Fervent, which was like, honestly, super good when I could get it on the field.
Right.
So I've encountered the classic problem with, like, Thoughtseize decks is, like, your greatest enemy is the top of their deck because you can do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have blue to cantrip. Like, I have Stubborn Denial, but beyond that. So this deck...
Yeah, but you can't counter creatures.
No, yeah, you can't. You just... Terminate well, you kill them. Yeah. Or swing with Death Shadows, but...
Sure.
I found myself in a situation where I would take everything from their hand that could possibly affect me, play a couple of threats, and then in the next turn, both of my threats are gone, and I'm backpedaling.
Yeah, and you're like trying to like scrounge together anything, any kind of board presence, or yeah.
So I've been thinking about that, and I think that's like an Abzan thing. I played Abzan twice.
Yeah, no, those like the Abzan traditional Jund list are like hard for you, I think.
Oh yeah, well, first game you played.
Deck of removal.
Yeah, absolutely, and he could draw it. Like, so the first game he had Bobs, which just destroys me.
Yeah.
Like, I only have so much removal. I only have so many creatures. So he just top decked me to oblivion. He actually got a warning. Turn one, first game, I bobbled him, and he reached for the top card of his deck and revealed it to both of us.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I can't do that. So,
yeah.
Him and I had a good laugh about that. The judge was like, don't do that. Just read the card.
Yeah.
RTFC.
Yeah. It was a Path to Exile, so that sucked.
Yeah, so you're like, can we shuffle that in any way?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they should have been done, but whatever.
No, like, it just is what it is. The nice thing is, he was on the draw?
No, he's on the play.
Oh, did he have a fetch land in play?
No, he already fetched.
Oh, okay. I was like, oh, man, that would be...
It's like you can't shuffle there because it was the card he was going to draw anyway, and there's no real, like, decisions for him to make.
There's no way to, like, change that. Information based on there's no way to change that top card based on information he had or like whatever. Sure. So like, I guess he couldn't have changed his line based off knowing that information. So I guess it's not too bad, but
right, which is why we ended up kind of laughing about it. And then he main boarded three Maelstrom Pulses, which is ridiculous.
That's
oh my god! Like, I've that's always heat, loved dude. One in the main, one in the board. That's two in the 75. That at three in the
they were all, everything was foil, of course. So
I'm
like,
gonna go shake this guy's hand.
Do you ever just want to kill everything?
At one point, I had two Death Shadow, two Goyf, and then the next turn, I played a Street Wraith, and everything was gone.
Oh my god.
Like I
pulse
and I was
this,
like
pulse
three.
That, Lily down to
it was terrible. Oh, I think that's exactly
but
what
the,
happened.
The question is, did they have a Tarmogoyf in play whenever they Maelstrom pulsed your Tarmogoyf?
Well, he didn't have mana for that, but I didn't have any more creatures.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't matter. You, like, just kill them all. It's so funny.
Yeah. So I think so that went really bad in the next round. I think I played another like green X deck. I kind of like faded in and out of consciousness as I'm just getting my butt whooped.
Yeah.
But I know round four, I went to set at nearly the back table and played against Bring to Light Scapeshift. So,
bodied him.
Yeah. Which is like, I mean, thank God I did. Yeah. We sat down and I bobbled the top of his card and it was Bring to Light. And I was just like,
sweet.
Oh. Dude, I love your deck, but I am so sorry.
Oh, sweet deck, bro. You're going to get wrecked, though.
Yeah. Because I was like, when we sat down, we were like, this is our last chance. Like, everyone was like, yeah, you know, let's try to have fun, but like, here's how we try to win out, yeah, I guess.
Got to win six rounds in a row. Or don't.
Yeah, or don't. He did not. So that game went pretty swimmingly. Next round was Budget Mill.
Yep.
And he was 1-3, as was I. So he stole the game from somebody.
Yeah.
And I think this is how he did it. So there are these homunculus cards from Shadows.
A curious homunculus.
Yeah.
Curious.
Is it Shadows or is it?
This one's from Eldritch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's in that block, yeah.
Yeah. And so when this thing flips, it like hits like a truck and like his spells cost one less.
Yep.
So like
game. Traumatized for 3 mana. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. He also played this card, Blue and an X, counter target spell unless.
Unless you pay X.
Unless you pay X and then clash with your opponent.
Oh.
Yeah.
Colin, you're the resident expert on clash cards.
And if you lose the clash, they mill that many.
They mill 4. It's just straight up 4.
It's just 4.
Instant speed.
Did you win the clash?
Shoot. Oh, yeah.
How did you win the clash, Peter?
He revealed land, and I revealed Death Shadow.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I was hoping for something better.
Yeah. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that unless it's flipping like a Street Wraith or something. But.
Right.
So question on how traumatize works. Isn't it rounded down?
Rounded up.
Oh, dang it. I was hoping it was rounded down so that way, like, if he got to one card in his library and you just cast traumatize, it wouldn't do anything.
No, it definitely gets that card.
One card deck? Shoot. Oh, God. Traumatize in hand. What do we do? Just cast it. Anyway, who cares?
But him and I had a good match. He learned what Bobble does.
Good for him.
Yeah. He learned what Death Shadow does.
And also good for him. How does he not know?
Well, I mean, he's playing like budget mill.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's fine.
My question is though, like, you know, you're playing budget mill. Do you really think you're gonna like steal a bunch of wins at the GP?
No.
Well, I'll tell you,
broken ambitions.
I asked him the same question. I was like, you know, did you come here? Is this your first GP? And he's like, yeah, it's my first GP. But I really wanted to come here and get some cards signed. And I was like, oh, cool. What cards are signed? And then he lays down on the Evolving Wilds, and it's signed, foil and signed by the dude at the door.
Good on him. Good on him.
Using it in his deck.
Heck, I mean, dude.
If you're mono blue and you're just trying to have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, why not just spend the $70 entry fee to buy, to like, buy more?
Maybe he's just trying to grind for buys, dude. I don't know.
Ooh, I
guess. Listen,
I'm,
so maybe
he just, guy, if you're listening right now, I'm not judging you. I'm just, you know. Like,
yeah.
But
we have questions.
You know, yeah. I have unanswered questions.
I just want to know.
So actually, I won that one.
Back to 2-3.
Yeah, so game two, he beat me down with those homunculuses.
Yeah.
He had like they're 3/4.
Yeah. No, yeah.
They're,
yeah,
is it homunculi?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Homunculi. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely, it's definitely homunculi.
Yeah.
Call Rosewater. So yeah, he just beat me down. I was at like 12, and I was just like, oh, this is like a 2-turn clock that I can't stop.
You're like, oh, God, this is bad.
I literally can't do anything about this.
How many damnations were in your deck?
0.
Not enough. Yeah,
no,
that's good.
No. I mean, I played Liliana's. Sideboard was kind of weird. I opted for 3 Leyline in the Void,
yeah,
which did nothing.
Yeah, they were ass for both of us.
But, you know, we get to the point where we're, like, just casting this card for no value in the hopes that, like, they can't find creatures for, like, scavenging ooze or whatever, you know.
Right.
They have to focus on my graveyard, which I can kind of control. Even based on Delirium, so.
Yeah. Leyline's good, though. I played Leylines. They were mostly ass. They won one game.
Yeah. They won one game for me, too, but it was in the side event, so.
Nice. Dredge? Oh, yeah, nice. Look at this.
Yeah, it was great. It was great.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Nerd. Don't play Magic, nerd.
Get wrecked.
So I lost the next couple of Magic. No, I won 2 more because I was like 3-3 at one point. And then like I lost the very next one. I couldn't even tell you what it was because at that point I was done. I really enjoy this deck. I think it's great in like a local meta. But there are some changes. Like I probably wouldn't play blue mainboard the next time that I play this deck.
Just go straight Jund.
No, put in white. Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, just have
made
a Glimmering Souls. All right.
Yeah, Stubborn Denial gets pretty weird if it has no targets.
Correct.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, and sometimes you get lucky. True. Sometimes you have the Dreamforce spike.
Lingering Souls like always has a target.
Yeah, yeah.
In my grinding with Grixis Shadow, there was just times where you draw two Stubborn Denials in a row, and like this guy's just casting creatures, and you're like,
yeah. Oh, okay,
I can't do anything. Yeah, yeah.
thinking. Yeah, no, that's good.
Yep.
And sometimes you bluff on Moto, but like floating blue and something, and you're like, I won't do it.
But I did have one spice card recommended by Mr. Austin Baker himself.
Hey.
Garruk Relentless.
How was that one?
It was fantastic. Yeah, so the games that I played him.
Did you say he's relentless?
It was relentless.
That card's great. That card's seriously underplayed.
Honestly, like, I wish I could have had him in every single game, specifically because I played a lot of creature-based decks, like Beyond Mill and Bring to Light Scapeshift.
He just turns out dudes. Like, he's basically a green Gideon. Yeah. So.
He's just like, ping your dude, flip over, and here's some Death Touch.
Yep.
Yeah, and then he just becomes like a traverse on a stick.
It's actually a survival. Like, you just sack one of your Death Touch tokens if you want and go find a Death Shadow.
Yeah, or like a Hazoret.
Yeah, or Hazoret. Yeah, whatever you want, really.
Or you just don't flip him.
True.
Yeah, you could also just keep making two twos.
But sometimes you like need that ground interference. Like, if I have a 10/10 shadow, like, I can't handle more than three creatures, you know?
Yeah. No, it's true. Consideration for, I don't know what I was thinking. Go on. I'll think of it. Go.
So, I ended up like just dropping, and I was like, well, I'll try some side events. I contemplated doing some unstable stuff, but once I sat down and started playing more modern and I started like not taking it as seriously as I, you know, wasn't salting out. I had a lot of fun with this deck and like people that were at the GP, the unstable drafts were behind me, and if I hear another person shout
high five.
I'm gonna lose it. Yeah. That's one life. Don't do that.
I was thinking Ranger of Eos. That's the white card I was thinking.
Yeah.
Would you play that?
Probably not. Yeah, no. It's so slow and like funky. You have to have the dudes to go get. So
sometimes you don't.
Yeah. If like you've already lost like two or three shadow or ones on the board and one's in your hand, like maybe you don't play Eos at that point, but
yeah, sure.
But yeah, so Garruk Relentless was a house. Beyond that, I mean, I had a really good time. It was nice catching up with everybody. It was nice doing some interviews.
Yeah, we'll have those in the cast as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be before or after. I don't know what the power of editing and time. I don't know if it'll be before or after this segment.
It'll definitely be after. Cool. I'll put it at like the tail end. We'll do our sign off, and I'll play just two or three quick interviews.
Yeah, cool.
We'll go from there. So, Mr. Baker, how did your weekend go?
It went. This is where we would play a clip of Man of Constant Sorrow if we had it. Yeah, so you can find the list I took on the website at deadonboardmtg.com. Basically wrote an article about Esper Gifts, which actually had been like really, really good in the local meta. Been crushing with it. I had a list I was like pretty happy with. It was a little meme-y with like three main deck Shadow Doubts, but they were actually excellent. I just wouldn't have wanted any other card over those. So it was kind of weird, but like I went ahead and took it to the event, knowing that it's kind of my own deck, might not go well, but I think I actually had like ambition to do well with it. And that just, you got to be 6-3 to make day two.
Yeah.
I did the opposite of that. So lost round one to Ponza. He had turn three Stormbreath Dragon that could pay for mana leak because he's a douche. So that was like the most horrid thing I could have imagined. He kind of just crushed me. It was fine. Beat Death and Taxes, mono white, because I played Supreme Verdict, and he plays creatures. The fun thing was game three, he did not know I was Gifts deck, so I'm just like, turn five Gifts, and he's like, oh yeah, okay, and I had Unburial Rites in hand, so I just got Grizzlebrand and Iona, and he just picks those up, and he reads them, and then just goes, oh my Jesus Christ, this is bad. Like, he doesn't know how I'm getting them into play, he just knows that if I'm putting putting 17 mana worth of cards in my graveyard for a reason,
it's not good.
Yeah, it's not going to go well for him. So I just go, I'm Barrow Rights, I own a name wipe. And he's like, I have no outs. Sat there for another 20 seconds and then just picked up his cards. It was fun to play against. And of course, like a lot of people see I own on the field, and there's a bunch of people ask me, dude, what are you playing? And I'm like, oh, it's a sweet deck. And I'm 1-1 thinking, yeah, we're going to run it. Like, I got a little bit of confidence after that. I was like, okay, we can do this. The round one loss shook me up a little bit, but we can roll. So I was talking to people about the deck and how it's just a control deck with a combo finish. It's basically twin. It's not twin.
Famous last words.
Yeah. So that was fine. Then I played against Blue-White Control. Can never beat that deck. They just have go like over the top of you. Like I'm kind of combo-y, and like I have a lot of awkward cards. Like drawing, I don't know, Griselbrand kind of sucks, where they're drawing like Cryptic Commands. He flipped Azcanta and was just like, oh, here's a Cryptic Command, here's a Path to Exile, here's another Cryptic Command, here's a bunch of other stuff. And I knew he had like snaps in hand. I was like, all right, let's go game two.
Right.
I got greedy with Lingering Souls. I should have just kept chipping him for two, but I'm like, oh, I'll make four. He doesn't have another Wrath, does he? Sure does. So lost that one. And round four, I got to play against... I'm going to tell y'all what happened to me once again. I know you guys know, but the listeners need to hear this because this was just too unreal for me. She was super super cool, super chill girl. Like, sit down, have a little chat. She goes to Iowa State. Could tell because she was, like, decked out in Iowa. Yeah, yeah, she was decked out in Iowa State gear. I was like, all right, cool. She goes, turn one, Wooded Foothills, Fetch, Shock, Stomping Ground, Wild in the Coddle. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, this could probably be Burn, but maybe Zoo. Like, Wild in the Coddle indicates maybe Zoo. I played my land and passed. It was just an island or whatever. And she goes, Arid Mesa, Fetch, Shock, Sacred Foundry, play Swiss Spear Attack for four. And I'm like, all right, cool. I'll take four because I'm an idiot. And then she goes, second main, play a second Wild in the Coddle. And I'm like, this has to be Zoo.
Right.
It's got to be Zoo.
Not seen any Burn yet.
Yeah, so. No, I've not seen any Burn spells. I'm like, maybe that she's just playing creatures to get, you know, get the damage in. Maybe she has a creature heavy hand, but this just looks like straight up Naya Zoo. Looks great. I just played my land and pass, and then she goes, like, I think third land, second Swiss Spear, Rancor on a Wild in the Coddle.
Yeesh.
And 12th, man. I'm like, all right, I'm at two. That's cool. I ended up drawing third land. I needed to start, like, really casting removal spells, but she had four creatures, so it didn't matter. Scooped them up, went to game two. I boarded in three of my Brimazes because they block like a... They're just a brick house. Like, they just block like a champ. I brought in the fourth Wrath, and I think I brought in Sphinx of the Steel Wind over Iona, because, like, Sphinx is just probably a little bit better. So I go, like, I had a good opening hand. I'm like, land pass, and she goes, Overgrown Tomb, Wild in the Coddle. And I'm like, what? Why do you have Overgrown Tomb? why? And I was like, I guess I just have to push the Wild in the Coddle immediately. So I fetched, shocked, and pushed, because, like, I kind of wanted to cast Brutality, but I didn't really have any cards I wanted to discard, so I was like, maybe I don't want to cast Brutality. I was, like, really put off by that. And then her second land was Steam Vents Tarmogoyf.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, my God, Brimaz is just awful in this matchup. Whatever it is.
Oh, I just messed up so badly.
God, she didn't even show me any of this. Like, this is all just so bad. I'm like, she has Tribal Flames. I know she has Tribal Flames. Yeah, so it turns out she was actually Suicide Zoo.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I had no, I did not see it coming. Completely blindsided me. I was able to, like, almost get there just by, like, holding the ground off of Lingering Souls. Drew a couple removal spells. She had Blossoming Defense. What the F, girl? Why do you have Blossoming Defense? But you absolutely blew me out with it. It was so gross. It was
real good.
Yeah, I should have grabbed, like, three Wraths and, like, a Snapcaster with my gifts pile, but I did not.
I did not.
Yeah. So I ended up just grabbing, like, double removal spell, Snapcaster, Lingering Souls, and she gave me two removal spells. Like, she just gave me Path Push, and I'm like, oh, I should have thought about it and been like, something's up. No, I was just like, oh, let her attack, and I'll just play into the Blossoming Defense that I don't know she has. What's weird is, like, I had Brutalized her the turn before, and she did not have Blossoming Defense, so I wasn't playing around it. That's okay. That's fine. I guess it wasn't the turn before. It was, like, two turns earlier. It doesn't really matter. No, I lost that one, so I was 1-3, and then I got to play against Mardu Tokens. Like, it's a Pyromancer token-y, Faithless Looting build or whatever, with Lingering Souls. Crushed him game one because he had a board and I had Elishnorn.
Ooh, well.
So that's a combo for me. And then I just, like, killed him with 3-3 tokens. Game two, he got there. I misplayed a little bit. He drew three off Bedlam Reveler, and I had in my hand Path Push Supreme Verdict and cast Inquisition. And I'm thinking, yeah, I don't really care. Like, I could Path this Bedlam Reveler, but I'm just going to Supreme Verdict it away anyway. And he can't take Supreme Verdict, so, like, why do I care? Because the rest of his board was just, like, two or three Lingering Souls tokens and, like, an Elemental token. Like, I wasn't really concerned. So I let the Inquisition resolve, and he took Path. And I'm like, that's to be expected. And then I'm like, oh, no. Thoughtseize? I'm like, oh, yep. Jesus, this just got hellacious for me. I'm like, I just made a terrible mistake. Should have Path in response, but, like, try to live and learn. Game three, I was on the play, had a great hand. Let's see. I like brutalated him on turn two, discarding an Iona. Two modes, kill the Swiss Spear, discarded his hand. He has Blood Moon, but no like discard spell. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. My mana link's going to be great. He's going to try to Blood Moon me. I'll mana link it. We'll have a good day. And if he doesn't Blood Moon me, then I just get Cryptic up. So I'm like, okay, like we'll be all right. We have ways to deal with these things. Top deck Thoughtseize.
As they do.
Took my mana leak. I was able to fetch one island. And then he played Blood Moon. And then he played a Pyromancer and swung 10 times. And that was the game. So that was me out of the tournament. Kind of disappointing, but I got to play against Living End next round. Killed him, then leylined him. I did not get to bamboozle him by putting two creatures in the yard in response to Living End, but whatever. I was like kind of upset, but just playing for pride at that point. So beat Living End, lost to Grixis Shadow, lost to Burn, because you can just apparently never beat Burn, no matter how budget it is. even with turn two brutality both games. I don't know. I just
he was playing like the Shrines and Spark Elemental.
But
he Shrined and
Burning Rage me for 10.
Yes.
It triggers on upkeep. What do you do with that? And then like he had four lands because I pathed him, and he's just playing one mana spells, and I'm looking at him as this mana league going, you're just a dick, mana league. Like, you're just worthless to me. So, yeah, it was really, really frustrating to lose that one, but never found a Gifts and never could get Iona, even though he's mono red. So, whatever. Sphinx probably would have done the trick, too, but whatever, it's fine. So, I lost Burn. That put me at, like, 2-6, and then I got to play against Titan Shift in the last round. She bodied me game one. I put Sphinx of the Steel Wind in play games 2 and 3. I think I played, actually, the best I played all day in that matchup. Weirdly enough, I don't think she knew that she could hit my Sphinx with Falcon triggers. Maybe she did know, because it was actually reasonable to race me. Like, basically try to kill me and outrace the 6 likes from the Sphinx every turn. So, she didn't end up getting there, though. Ended up taking that one. So, pretty pleased overall with, like, winning that matchup, because I think that one's actually not that bad. But 3-6 on the day. Like I said, you can find my 75 on the website. If I had to play this tournament again, I would change all of them.
Yeah.
Maybe not the paths. I might still play 3 paths. But I've been testing out with like just a couple of different things. I think this tournament opened up my eyes a lot to basically what I will and won't play.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm like pretty willing to just go, you know, not that I'm like done having fun with just whatever decks. Like, I'll still play, you know, I'll still force Jund when it's like maybe not opportune or whatever. But like, I played Tron on Monday. I'm like the anti-Tron player mostly, but sometimes you just got to play whatever's good.
Yeah, how'd it feel?
And I think I feel
it was weird. Like, my opener had like Karn and Tron, and I was like, "What is this deck?
This feels weird. This feels dirty."
Unfortunately, it was like a newer player to the modern format, and I'm like,
"I'm sorry."
Yeah, I'm like, "This is gonna be." What's bad is it's the same kid who played mono red the first week. His first ever Magic event, he played mono red and played against me, and I'm like, "Iona name red." Like, I felt
you
bad.
You can't doing play
it.
Magic.
Yeah, and then next week he's like, I'll show up with something different. Mono white. And I'm like, oh no.
It's the same thing.
I own a name white. And this week he showed up with like the same mono white build. And I'm like, here's a car. I don't know. Follow it up with Ulamog. Whatever. Yeah, it was really disgusting. So, I don't know. Tron's interesting. Like, it actually has like some interesting lines. I think people think Tron is like a deck where you just kind of slam your forehead into the table and hope something good happens. But it's not entirely that. Like, there are some decisions.
It's totally that. Don't listen to him.
No, like, it
you shut your mouth.
It can be. It can be. If you're looking at Tron in your hand and you have Karn or, like,
I mean, yeah, like, there's, sure, you have those hands where it's just,
yeah,
I'm just going to put a bunch of big things and tell my opponent to figure it out. Like,
yeah, it's the games that are, like, close and you have to find, like, wins in the margins that are, and that's with every deck, I think. So, tonight I'm going to try a new spicy brew. I got some Bant Coco going on. We're going to play some Knight of the Reliquary and hope it goes well.
We'll see. I think it'll be fun. I mean,
yeah, it's going
to
be,
everybody's going to be back, and I think everybody's going to be hankering to play. So.
Yep. So that's pretty much it for me. We hung out day two and watched a little bit of the top tables, but other than that.
Saw some interesting stuff, but
Corey Burkhart still lives in a fantasy world, but my God, is that guy good?
He works. He warps reality to make that deck work. So.
The only Grixis control player in the top day two. So,
yeah.
Good for him, man. Good for him. I know he's a listener, so I'd like to shout out to Corey Burkhardt.
Hey, Corey, how you doing? How you doing, bud? It was good talking to you.
Why didn't we get him for an interview, though? Like, you guys just go over and talk to him? And you're like,
dude,
nothing?
I mean, my shorts were filled with spaghetti, man.
Mine were filled with tater tots, so I don't know.
We were talking about it, and he had like already packed up from his match, and we were talking to him about Grixis, and I asked if he was running the same 75 from the video, and he goes, like, reaches in his bag and hands me his deck box. He goes, nah, I changed, like, a few things. So I was just like,
Wait, I have
the magic
story
in my hands.
Yeah, no, cool, super cool guy, though. Like, he's, Corey's pretty cool because he's not so far removed from being a GP grinder that, like, he's been in our shoes. So, seemed like a super chill guy, even though he's hanging out at, like, table six.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
So,
that's all right. He finished, though, you know, 15.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, 15. Good finish for him. Good finish for him.
Well, I think that wraps it up for the GP coverage.
Mm-hmm.
We got a skedaddle here soon. Does anyone want to talk about anything real quick?
Nah.
There was a little bit of controversy if we want to hit it out really quick. Guy conceded in the top eight with win on the stack.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, my gosh. It was so bad.
Yeah.
I feel like that dude's never going to forget.
Oh, yeah. He'll never forget how Valakut happens.
He's always going to, like, remember that, and it just sitting like across the table, and someone just goes Valakut. He's probably just going to grind his teeth every time.
Yeah,
just like,
that's fine.
Hopefully, he continues to play. Like, I would hate for somebody to like
salt so much that like
that they just like stop playing, or the community just so much backlash.
Yeah, he'd also played 15 rounds of Magic. Maybe his brain was just fried.
Yeah, mine would be.
So, I mean, yeah.
A lot of people were like upset about the judge call, the fact that he talked to a judge and the judge told him correct information. But judges can't help you. So, Colin, you're like an L1.
Yeah. Well, plus we also don't know, like, verbatim what was said. I can assume it went, like, something like this. Competitor asks, hey, if I destroy the sixth mountain while the trigger's on the stack, do they still resolve?
The answer to that
question is yes.
Right.
Now, if he would have asked the judge how much damage it would have dealt, or if he would have asked his opponent, how much damage was being dealt to him, then they come in and say, all right, the nothing. He conceded. So,
right.
Yeah, showed his opponent the way to counter, like, scape shift.
Yeah.
Just conceded. So.
Which is like, that's bad beats, but.
Yeah. Oh, he'll never forget now.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah. Top eight was a lot of big mana, though. Valakut Mirror in the finals.
Strange.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd say that.
Tron sucks.
Colin's out. Tron sucks. You want to attack the meta differently nowadays?
Yeah, you got to burn him out.
Yeah, well, just spike him, bro.
You got to get
just
aggressive. Sans Colin Bradley. Well, I think that's it for episode 7 of Dead on Board, GP Top Deck City Edition.
Yeah.
My name is Peter Trapani here with Austin Baker.
Hey, see you later, guys.
Micah Godfrey.
See you guys.
And Colin Bradley somewhere in the distance.
You can find us on deadonboardmtg.com. We have Twitter, Facebook. Keep up with us.
Introducing our Patreon this episode, so stay tuned for that.
All right, cool. We'll see you guys later. Off to play Wednesday Night Modern. Let's go.
Have a week. Hey, this is Peter on Dead on Board. I'm here at the GP OKC Convention Hall, interviewing players at day 2. Who am I with here today?
You're with Jesse Rosander from Moline.
Now, Jesse, we've known each other for a little while now, playing in the Quad Cities. Can you tell me what you're playing today?
I'm on 4-color Death Shadow with no red.
No red. So was that a conscious decision, or did you just decide, like, hey, I don't want to play Terminates today?
It was pretty conscious. I think that the 5-color plan, or just hard Grixis, is weaker to a lot of things that Lingering Souls are better against. And I don't think that Team or Battle Rage is good enough against the graveyard packages that are going to be here today.
Okay, that's fair. So you are you playing, like, the Ranger in the sideboard? Is that main board? Are you said Lingering Souls main board as well?
I've got Ranger in the main, Lingering Souls are in the side. So the blue splash is for Stubborn Denial in the main, and those take the Lingering Souls spots. And I've also got a Lily Last Hope for my Kolaghan's command slot. And then I also have just an additional land with Horizon Canopy for extra pain and extra filtering.
Right on. Okay, so... having played today, we're in deep into day 2. You said your record's like 5-3. Is that correct? 5-4, or you're X4.
I'm
X3. X3 currently. Okay, so you're in the money.
Yep.
Fantastic. Okay, so what changes would you make today if you were to have another GP tomorrow?
I think I would cut down to 6 discard spells and play another Lily Veil. Every time I've seen her, it's been absolutely great in every matchup. Out of the sideboard, I am currently running a lot of flexible cards, and I have a lot of hate for Affinity, so I think that I could have cut a Kataki for a Surgical to kind of help with some additional Snapcaster value decks, or Dredge has been pretty popular, or against Tron or Escape Shift, but other than that, it's been a perfect 75 minus those couple of cards.
That's fantastic. That's really good to hear. As far as your matchups, have you run into anything like super spicy or anything you weren't prepared against?
I definitely was not prepared for the mono white enchantments day one in round 4, but thankfully I was able to pain myself low enough that he nevermored my Death Shadow, and then I played an 8-9 Tarmogoyf and beamed him into the floor.
Holy
so thankfully I was able to get that. Other than that, it's been really diverse, but I haven't played anything too overly spicy. Hard blue white control got me in day one, and so did Burn, but other than that, it's been Affinity, Grixis Shadow, mono white enchantments. I haven't seen any Tron, and hard Grixis control I played against, and other than that, it's made mostly Affinity and a couple of Infect players.
Well, that's fantastic, dude. I hope you do well. I hope you make some good money and get out of here like a bandit. This is Peter Trapani on Dead and Board, here with...
Yep. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Autograph. Oh my god.
Hey, this is Peter Trapani back on day 2 at GPOKC. I'm here with
Michael Raymond.
Michael, what are you playing today?
I'm playing Blue Green Infect.
All right, Blue Green Infect. It's pretty spicy. Are you playing like Shape or Sanctuary or anything special like that?
Got 3 in the board.
3 in the board, okay. So tell me about your play day 1 and day 2 to this point today.
Just like my record or?
Yeah, any like spicy matchups, special plays, anything like that.
So I was 7-2 day one. MVP so far has been Baby Jace. It's flipped twice and let me target a Vines or a Might of All Crows out of the board for wins. Other MVPs, Distortion Strike. I've actually gone against Affinity 3 times, Elves twice, Counters Company once, Ponza twice.
You know, I have noticed a lot of like creature strategies going on today, so Distortion Strike probably is pretty key. Tell me about why Baby Jays.
So with the banning of Git Probe, you needed to be able to dig deeper into the library, have more threats available. Git Probe allowed you to dig if you did not have a threat. So I tried Jace. It was mediocre. I went to Ichor Claw. It seemed really bad, so I went back to Jace, and it's actually been very good. So you just needed at least 14 threats in the main.
Okay. I mean, like, if I was playing against Infect, I wouldn't naturally think Graveyard Hate. I mean, we have, like, the classic, like, Delve plus 6, you're dead combo. Have you experienced any kind of specific hate for Infect this weekend?
I have not. I actually board out Become Immense quite often. I run 3 main, and I've probably cast it once this whole weekend.
Okay. So the reason why I approached you today is because you had some energetic ramblings about your most recent play. Can you tell me what that was?
So I just lost this round to Affinity, round 13. I've gone 2-2 on the day so far. I was on the play, kept a hand of Fetchland, Glistener Elf, Baby Jace, Blighted Agent, Nature's Claim, Spell Pierce. Turn 1, Glistener Elf. He plays no creatures turn 1. I swing 1. He then tries to Steel Overseer. So I didn't draw mana turn 2. So I let Steel Overseer resolve. He uses it with Drum to try and cast Ravager. Response, I Nature's Claim. Ravager resolves. He's tapped out. I untap, still no second land, Nature's Claim, the Ravager, so he can't put a counter on anything. Swing for 2, Infect. He untaps, plays Master of Ethereum. I untap, draw no third land, I draw a High Arc, but I keep it open for Spell Pierce. I pass turn, he Cranial Platings, I Spell Pierce it down, and then pass turn, he swings. If I still draw land, I'm lethal. I have Distortion Strike, and... 8 pump in hand. Rip, no land, then he gets on the... swings, yeah.
Yeah,
it does the Affinity thing.
All right, well, Michael, thanks for doing this interview with me. I really appreciate it. Good luck on the rest of your day, man.
Thank you. Have a good one.